Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Life Design with Linda Sachs. I'm your host, Linda Sachs. Today, I've decided to share threads of both my personal and my professional story. I'm opening up the telephone lines today for listeners to please feel free to call in and join me in a conversation regarding all our old stories and their need for release. I would really love to hear from you all and welcoming your support and your participation. Okay, I'd like to begin the show with a quote, one that I found that really hit home for me. Here goes. Negative emotions such as anger and sadness are messages from your unconscious mind. They nudge you to see something that has not been healed from your past. Instead of wishing them dead, embrace them. Taste, smell, and feel them until they are no longer needed. If you do not, they will keep showing themselves up until you listen. Okay? We are all a work in progress. We all know that. Our genetics and our childhood experiences have molded our thoughts, beliefs, emotions, and feelings about ourselves and all of our life experiences. In order to fully live to our full potential, we really do need to release all those negative feelings that no longer serve us, that are actually working against us. In most cases, we don't even know, we're not even aware of how we got to become the way that we are, or what things in our lives that have been happening have either been working for and or even against us. Think about that. So really, where do we begin, right? How do we heal? How do we move on and embrace the lives that we have been meant to lead, the ones that we were sent here to live and experience? Lives of abundance, lives of happiness, joy, families, pleasure, health. Well, big, huge question that's out there today that's always been there, but there's a different awareness. We're in a completely different shift, and we're in a real paradigm shift, actually, and a real transformation from one way of living to a totally, completely different one. So that's why I thought this would be a timely and a great thing great subject to discuss. So I'm going to really get into the nitty-gritty of my personal story that I am extending to all of you that are listening and anyone who actually I had either messaged or knows me who is in the queue. Please, I'm going to try and keep my story kind of short if I can, and I really am hoping that people will call in because I'd love to see some form of a conversation going. So where is it in our old stories? What is it about our old stories that keeps and really holds us back? Backstory of my own. Okay, I was born into a second marriage family. My parents were in their late 30s, my dad a bachelor, and my mom was a divorcee in those days, in the 50s, with two small boys, which is really kind of rare. My mom grew up with immigrant parents. Her household was filled with secrets and shame, of course. They were Eastern European, they were Polish. Not every house was filled with secrets and shame, but this is my story. My dad's house was also laden and filled with a lot of secrets and shame. Not a lot of happiness in both families, a lot of negativity, and a lot of low vibrating negative energy. My dad's childhood was filled with actually abuse, drama, and a lot of neglect. Although there was a lot of love deep down, I'm sure, for both my parents, I don't think that either my mother or my father ever really felt it. My dad was strapped and beaten when he was a young boy. My mother had given birth to a stillborn baby girl. Now, of course, she was at this point married, but had a lot of negative stuff, happen in her childhood as well. So there was, as I say again, tons of negativity, a lot of negative emotions floating. I came into this world so intensely desired. I was a dream fulfilled. My dad, of course, being a bachelor and had taken care of his elderly mother who had suffered with a weak heart for so many years, his whole family picked up and moved to California, so there were abandonment issues and on and on and on and on, as we all can make the list so long, right? So both my parents were, from what I see as I look back, needing and craving love. But both of them were so trapped in their own drama and their own lack of love that they not only didn't know how to express or share love, they didn't even really know how to receive it. Big, huge thing, receiving it. So this exchange was always out of balance in my household as I was growing up. I was adorable. I was smothered. I was the little baby sister. Labels were a big, huge part of my life. I was the actress, the drama queen, okay, the crybaby, the sprinza. I love that one. Being in my Jewish family, I was the sprinza. I always got what I wanted with a smile. Yes, I was cute, but I was also called moody all the time. And I was really like a little China doll, okay? So I grew up with all these labels. Now, my mother was a beautiful woman. She was physically and always dressed to the nines, and as a little girl, I was like her little molded little China doll. She took me by the hand, and I was like her little showcase. I was always in dresses, frilly socks, patent leather shoes, plus, 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 plus. Every picture and photo that I've seen from the time that I can remember, I could see myself dressed up for a runway with a big, huge pout on my face. I looked so cute, but so miserable, so angry, and just ready to kill. As a teenager, I was still told that I needed to wear dresses and dress to perfection. I can only remember never being able to show my true emotions from the time I was a little girl or ever. If I spilled a drink when I was a little girl, I would cry. And then I would, of course, be called the crybaby. So, why am I saying all this? Well, I'm going to continue on with my story, but just to like keep it in mind, there were a lot of labels for me. And at that point, I was really learning how and what to do to please everybody else, to please people, to make everybody else happy, to keep the peace, but not really having a place to self-express. So I really was growing up with no clue of really who I was. I felt so lost. I was always doing what I was told. I was never really sure what I wanted to do. I was just doing stuff, almost like rote. I questioned everything, and I knew that I was really starting to lack in self-confidence and self-esteem. And I always heard my mother saying, it's fine, it's perfect, and it's okay. You're just a late bloomer. Another label. Another label. So, really, my name being Linda, of course, I was always called Linny. So at home, I was never called Linda. Something that I didn't think about so long time after was that my birth name is Linda, but Linny was like I was the little baby, everything about a baby that cries. Whenever I would hear the words, I would always really get like so shameful and so frustrated and really angry. But, of course, in my house, I wasn't allowed to show anger. That was another thing that we just didn't do. So with all this happening, I can remember being in high school at 14 years old and taking $75, like it was yesterday, out of my saved allowance, out of a jar. I got on a bus and I went to see a vocational counselor. At 14, I knew that there was something that I have to be good at, or I just wanted to learn something about myself. I wanted to know who I was, and I was going outside my family to find it. My family certainly wasn't helping me trying to develop and figure out, you know, what are my assets? What are my qualities? What do I love? What are my passions? And I was so void. I can remember the day that I went for this assessment inventory to the vocational service. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I remember doing an assessment inventory, and it was returned back to me. There are a few things I remember now, careers back on that list, but ones that stuck out for me were interior designer, guidance counselor, police officer, and better yet, get this one, a funeral director. And all I could think about was, wow, you mean I sent a $75 and they're telling me on a test, strangers who don't know me, that I should go be a funeral director? Oh, my freaking God. They really don't know me. So here again, I was on this quest of trying to find out who I was, and I really had no clue where to take it and where to go with it. In high school was a lot of fun for me. Socially, I had a ton of friends. I had a boyfriend. I loved to party, but school bored me half to death. Classes bored me. I was always drawing. I can remember doodling to the point that there were like circles, squares, whatever, over all my notebooks. And I kept thinking, like, do I really have to sit here for the next 4 years of my life just to get this piece of paper? Oh, my God. Fast forward. Into university, I was really so lost that I decided, well, I guess it's got to be psychology. I mean, I used to walk around saying to my friends, I need to psychologize myself. I used that word a lot. I had no idea what it meant. I had a ton of friends, and life was great. But in every other way, as far as life purpose, I felt like a real failure. Like, I really just didn't even know what direction to take. I started volunteering. I did small jobs I can remember I had a lot of jobs actually. I was far from lazy. I just really was lacking direction. I was always passionate about something I would start, and then it would take a few months, and then it would just bore me half to death. There was no challenge. And I kept thinking, well, I know I'm a nonconformist, but how come I'm not challenged? I don't like the rules, and I don't like to be told what to do, so now what? Anyhow, fast forward once again, as I said, I'd like to try and, like, open up the line soon. At that, you know, really, I kept kind of going on this journey. I didn't really realize what I know now, that my parents did the best that they could with the best of intentions to parent me in the best way they knew how and to provide me with that solid foundation that I could take into the world. But they were coming from what they had or didn't have, and I get that now, but I certainly didn't get that then. There was no conversation in my house about dreams, passions, fun, career. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. Her mother was a stay-at-home mom. My father's mother was a stay-at-home mom. So hence, Lenny was going to be a stay-at-home mom. Yuck. I mean, I love my daughters to death, but I always knew that there had to be more than that, and I was brought into the world for a lot more than that, but I had no clue what it was. So my dad taught us all to get a J-O-B, and I say J-O-B because I didn't say the word job for a really long time, because every J-O-B I had and I got was a chore. It was all about making sure that the bills were paid and having money to bring home to put on the table so that just in case of a rainy day, God forbid, a rainy day, as both my parents, you know, were brought up in poverty. So this is what I had. You know, what do I want to do with my life? What do I love to do? I felt so useless. I really felt so useless without any direction. And my self-esteem really started to plummet. I could look in the mirror. I knew it was pretty. I didn't have a problem in my social life with boyfriends. I did meet someone. My parents were thrilled. He fit right into the mold. He came from a wealthy family. He had all the criteria that he needed. That was it. All I needed was a nice Jewish man to get married, to become a wife and a mother. There was never any career talk in my house growing up at all. And that's what I did. I found, you know, a nice Jewish guy who my parents thought was just amazing, whose family was so wealthy, and my life was going to be blissful and perfect. I was going to put my life into the hands of someone else. And that's what I did. So fast forward again from that, going from one job to another, I certainly was not a stay-at-home mom, interestingly enough. After my first daughter was born, I was home for a while, and then I went to work in my dad's office. Of course, there were only a limited amount of things they would let me do. Once again, I was a woman, and I wasn't a man. So I struggled there for a few years. I really tried my best. That wasn't working for me, and I took off from there. Numerous jobs beyond that, stopping and starting a few of my own businesses, but never really feeling fulfillment. Like, I knew there had to be something more. Years later, I realized, you know, that all these negative messages that I had heard as a little girl really became a huge, big part of my DNA. I was a drama queen, an attention getter, a quitter, better yet. As an adult woman, I was also fed by my ex-mother-in-law that I never stuck with anything, and all these messages were slowly eating away at me. Now I had quitter added to my list of labels. During my course of my marriage, I lived in 5 different cities. Each time I moved, I made a job and a career shift. I realized that I was buying into this quitter label. I was living the label, and that I was self-sabotaging, but I really had no idea why. I was doing it, and I really wanted to change a pattern. I would often, in my downtime, get very upset, confused, and think to myself, I know I'm smart, I know I'm quick-witted, I'm intuitive, I'm creative, and I have so much more to offer. Why is it that I can't stick with anything? Maybe she's right. Maybe I am a quitter. My self-confidence really started to plummet. I knew I had to fix it, but I had no clue how, what to do. So I started reaching out to homeopaths, to Reiki specialists, science, Chinese alternative medicine, to dance therapy, whatever healing modalities I could find that I needed. And I knew I needed something more. I was watching my life not working on so many levels, relationships with men, family, ultimately myself. I knew I needed a whole new fresh start. So I left Montreal, where I was born, and I followed one of my daughters to California at age 52, which was just amazing. A lot of darkness in my life before then, but not on topic for today. That's a whole other story. I just kept telling myself, I know there's something special waiting for me out there. I don't know what it is, but I just have to find it, and I won't give up until I do. But at least I'm on my own now, and I'm responsible for me, and I can make this my lifetime obligation to find out what purpose I have and why I was sent here. So This was my second chance, my blank canvas. I started reading up all about release work, and I got really fascinated. I knew in my heart that old patterns were no longer serving me and that I needed to reinvent and break the old patterns. How do I do this? I had no idea. At first, I just wanted to lose 5 or 10 pounds, and I'm almost at the end of my story. I wanted to lose 5 to 10 pounds, and instead of just trying diets the old way that never worked, I would try journaling, releasing old programming and old messages, all those labels that I had read about, recently read about spiritual weight loss, and I figured, why not? I'll just try this. Well, let me tell you, this was the beginning of my journey that I'm still on about getting to really bring out the real me. I found myself remembering things from our childhood that I didn't even know ever existed or ever even happened. One thing led to another. I started reading about cutting energy cords, and I thought, wow, now I can let all those family members and ex-boyfriends go forever. Just cut a cord and they'll be gone. This is amazing. Then I was led to frequency vibration and ascending negative into positive energy. Another story, another journey. So what have I learned in my 50s, which I was never really aware of before that time, that I'd like to leave you with now? I learned that each and every experience I had had external to myself, even from zero or before birth, molded my internal being into a real low vibrating person who is attracting low and negative, like-minded, vibrating low people. I was so shocked. I'm so amazed, and it really was like a loss for me that I really had to suffer. I got deeper and deeper into this transition and finally had to accept that in order to bring out my true inner greatness that was seeking, screaming to get out, that I would have to go back and acknowledge, address, reprogram all my old programs, patterns, and relationships. This wasn't a pretty process. It was actually ugly in many ways. I haven't talked about my personal story. This is really very much my professional story, but I knew that there was a future that was brighter and so much better than the past. So all these negative emotions were keeping me back from living my best life. All those old stories that weren't my stories, they were everybody else's stories. My parents, my brothers, my family members. I did learn one of the most important lessons. That was that I owed it to myself and I was obligated to the rest of the world to clear out all my old baggage and all my old stuff and garbage so that I could make room for the reintroduction of the new me, the one that would show the unique gift and bring to the world that which I hold and have to offer, that I would be happier and more at peace. I was really wondering if any of you listeners that are out there have been through any of these like experiences, any experiences such as mine that have kept you from your greatness, your true potential, your happiness, or your joy, or you have anything you'd like to say or share, please, any listeners that are out there in the queue, I'd like to open up the lines right now in like the last 10 minutes that are there. This is a huge, big subject, just so much more huge and vast that I could even bring in. All I really wanted to point out today is that we all have a story. Many of us live throughout our life with a lot of pain, with disease, with all kinds of things. And I do believe in my heart of hearts, I was on a call today for over an hour discussing this with someone, that from 0 to 5 in our formative years, this is where all our programming comes in. And we don't really know. It goes into our cellular memory, and believe me, it's fixed. So I'm working on mine. I'm really not even walking into my greatness anymore. I'm jumping into it with quantum leaps. Every day is a more exciting day. Every day I feel more empowered, and I realize that I really am stepping into the real me. So I'd like to open up the floor right now. Is there anyone that is there that would like to call in, share, speak, say something? Hello? If Victor is there, I don't hear anything there. My line is dead. Hello? Hi, I'm actually trying to hear, but I can't hear anyone. For some reason, the line is actually dead here. I don't know. Maybe we're having some technical difficulties. Wow, that would be really interesting. Sharon, are you there?
I'm here, Linda.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, great. Hi. You know what? I have absolutely no sound, and I'm talking away. And okay, all right. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and I tell you, listening to so many things in your story, I can relate to.
Please share.
I will. You know, it really brought up to me how much that I grew up. I was the baby of the family by far. My sister was 5 years older and my brother 7 years older than I was. Mm-hmm. So I was always the baby, and I was shy, I was quiet. So talk about labels. You know, I was the baby, I was the shy girl, I was sort of that little mouse in the corner. And it's interesting that as life went on, I became the adventurer of the family, and yet, like yourself, nothing was really expected of me.
Mm-hmm. So interesting, Sharon, because you know what? I think, like I said, we believe that our parents did the best that they could at the time because they probably didn't even get half of what they gave us, right? Because the cycle keeps continuing. But I often wonder if when I was young, because I looked at my friends' families where either the mothers were working mothers or there was something else bigger than or other than just making it through the day, paying bills, and survival. Did you always, did you ever feel like you were in a survival mode, like not in a house where there was just joy and a lot of happiness and a lot of, purpose.
Yeah, purpose to my family was working hard. That's what they knew. That's what they did. That's what they passed on. So it was always working hard. You know, if you work hard, you will at least survive. You will do okay.
But just like me, did you know what you were supposed to work hard at or where you were supposed to do? Did your mom work?
My mom worked off and on, yes.
Okay.
So it was never a slacker family by any means.
Right.
But it was always just, you know, and my father was a very hard worker. So it was always hard work. Hard work will get you somewhere. It wasn't about, you know, schooling so much or anything else. It was just work hard. And I still have some blocks in that way over money. Yeah, so it's very interesting.
I love the way you said that about the blocks because that was really a big, huge part of the intention of me doing the show today was to explain and let people know that we all are a product of all our years of each and every minute of breath since the day we were brought into this world and that there's all this programming that often we don't even know about it. We don't even know that it's there. We just know that there's something missing. We want something more. And there's a lot of amazing release work out there. But I think in order to really live our best and biggest life, we all have to go into that shadow place and we have to work it through and kiss it and bless it and wish it goodbye. And then we open up a space.
Yes.
A new
space.
I
absolutely agree.
A whole new space. I want to thank you so much for calling in. I have two other callers. All I want to tell you is continue on your path. You are going to inspire many.
Well, thank you, Linda, and so wonderful of you to share your story.
Boy, thank you so much. I'm anxious to hear yours. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
All right. Wonderful. Bonnie, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
Hey. I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm anything but any of the labels. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm good. I'm joyful. I'm finally stepping into the real me. And at 55, I'm trying not to make it sad that to look back and think that 55 years were a waste because they weren't. And I want to make sure that my listeners know that. So I want you to share whatever you'd like to share.
Yeah, you know what, I listened to your story, and I think that one of the things that, you know, you didn't really convey is that, you know, like all of these things that you learned in your life, whether you were self-taught, whether you sought it out, whether it came to you, like all of those things are now in your life tools that you're using to, you know, basically improve yourself and help other people. And so, you know, when you say that 55 years could be a waste, how could all of those years to develop all these tools,
right.
You know, and some of them were tools for survival at the time, and others were tools that maybe held you back. However, without all of those experiences, you wouldn't really be able to be talking about and helping and really coming into the work that you're actually here today to do.
Yeah.
You know, because you wouldn't have the awareness to be able to do that. So I just want you to think about that and, like,
Okay. Thank you.
At it as a positive thing that you went through all this stuff. And don't beat yourself up for any of the things that maybe were not, you know, in their highest form, because if they were, you probably wouldn't have been seeking what you were seeking to try and become that better person, that better version of yourself.
Thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate it. It's interesting that you said beating up, because that's the program. It's like, right, if we get called something over and over and over and over again, it is a form of emotional abuse. And I hate to use those words and say, oh, my God, my family emotionally abused me. That's another one of those things. As I say it, even on the air, I feel a lot better saying it. I feel lifted. I feel like I've released a little bit. Feeling guilty and even saying it is as though I'm pointing fingers at all of them. But truly, words are very harmful. And words really do put you into a place where they can really kind of, you know, beat you down. And if I think of myself from the time my daughters were born, I put all the energies I had, like a tigress, into the best of what I could do with my children to be able to boost them up. And now, for all you listeners, including you, Bonnie, 29 years later, I am now working on release of letting go to allow the two of them, to give them more space, because I guess in my love, I might have, and I don't want to put judgment on, overprotected them to try and keep them from all the darkness. So once again, the generations keep going with the best of intentions.
Right, and today's version of all of that stuff that's going on is called bullying.
Bullying. Thank you. I was bullied when I was a little girl, but I will lovingly release them. I want to thank you so much for calling in. I have two other callers in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your compliment. It's really very well received.
Great. Thanks.
Well received. Thank you. Sarah, are you there? Sarah?
Yes, I am. I'm
here. Hello. How are you?
I'm all right. And how are you today?
I'm good. I'm supposed to be feeling 5 or 10 pounds lighter right at this moment, but maybe when I stand up.
Oh, you'll be 20 pounds lighter at the end of it.
Maybe when I sat at the end of the row, when I stand up.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, my point of view of what you're saying here today is that we are conditioned to live life by expectation.
Yes.
But the expectation isn't of our own, because that's not encouraged. It's expectation that's laid down by society. By religions, by schooling, by our parents. And so tradition is constantly brought into place rather than the allowing of exploration, of discovery. And this is why we grow up to be in our 50s and then discover who we are. And it's taken us that long to do that because we've had to break the chains of that traditional expectation that's been binding us.
I love that. That's beautiful. You know, I went to a homeopath when I was living in Montreal, because I wasn't actually, my mother had died of leukemia, and I had such pain in my heart that I was diagnosed with broken heart syndrome.
Exactly.
And I said, broken heart syndrome, there is no such thing. And I was told, oh, yes, there is. So,
oh,
you see, yes. And it just goes to show you here that actually I had no clue, and I realized, and I woke up, and this person had said to me, you're going to grieve. You need to grieve. You need to feel the loss. And once you go through that time capsule, then you will be in a position to break the chain. And that was the exact words they used, is you are the chosen one. You were the out-of-the-box one in your family. You are the one with all the strength, and you are the one that is meant to step up to the plate and break this for the next generation, for your daughters. You want them to be their own.
Exactly.
You know, the women that they are.
We lead the trail.
Exactly.
For others to follow them.
Thank you so much for calling in. I have 1 minute left. I want to thank you all, for the three of you brave souls and friends who called in today, truly. My story, I must say, gets a lot deeper and darker than what I shared today, but today I decided to just go lightly and lovingly on myself because, once again, being in the family I grew up in, there was a lot of secrecy and it was really quiet and we were always looking perfect, dressed to the nines, as I said, and everything was always pristine. So thank you for allowing me to at least come out in a small way. I'm going to start writing, I don't know about blogging, but vlogging. So hopefully for all of you out there, understand the negative programming. Know that if your life isn't working to your advantage, you do need to shift and make the change. And wishing you all a great summer. And July, there will be four people that I will be interviewing, four trailblazers. And I look forward to the future shows and talking with you all soon. Have a great week. Thank you. All my love. Bye.